Give them the perfect salute I've taught you. And in the name of Jesus, attack. That's irrelevant. The authority is not your perfection, but the delegated authority of the perfect one. The thing named members of the priest families and threatened to attack them in retaliation. Despite the weary... I just get mad when I think of this. I get mad at the devil. Don't ever be timid with him. Despite the wearing abuse and torrents of lies and invectives, the exorcism commands were continued. Begone, Satan! Cease your audacity. Withdraw from the elect of God. Cease your malice. Cease your insolence. Stay your pernicious iniquity. This is the command made to you by the Most High God. God the Father commands you. God the Son commands you. God the Holy Ghost commands you. I command you in the name of God Almighty, the Creator, to produce the sign of thine departure and be gone from the world, redeemed by the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the other canon. An awful groan issued from David's body. Momentarily thereafter, the pages of hymn books were heard rustling in the back of the church. Then the sound of footsteps, then lastly the opening and closing of a door. A sign had been given. Now Lorraine Warren's gift of discernment was critical. Her response, all the lesser spirits are gone. They've quit. They've expelled. They're gone. The pawns are off the chessboard. Staring at the pitiful spectacle of the possessed boy who lay gasping on the carpet and at the foot of the altar, Lorraine continued with the discernment process. Four spirits remain in the child now. These are the strongest. They have orchestrated it all, but one, only one of them, is the power. The first three are demonic. The last one, the one that's done all this, the one responsible, that one, Father, is a devil. Now, I've already told you the theology of the Warrens divides the hierarchy of these evil spirits. The leaders and the powerful ones, like the Prince of Persia that Daniel is informed of, and the Prince of Grecia. One like Abaddon that leads the locust demons out of the bottomless pit in the book of Revelation. To the Warrens, these are devils. The lesser servant demons are demons. In the Greek, there's only one Diablo, many demons. Doesn't really matter. There is a supreme lord of the underworld, Satan, Lucifer, that old serpent. The one will be bound 1,000 years. And he has in his army varying degrees of command. So you understand the reading of the Warren's incidents. The rulers are devils. The foot soldiers are demons. There are four devils, or rather powerful beings. One of them is a devil. Screaming and yelling erupted out of David the moment Lorraine uttered the last syllable. "You'll never expel me," the lead voice declared. "He's mine, his soul is mine, is mine." If the first hour of the exorcism was a battle, the second one was a war. Virtually everyone was covered with spit and slobber, particularly the priests. All were kicked and punched and bitten. All were forced to endure lying accusations and were repulsed by monumentally depraved blasphemies against Christ and the church. In the middle of the screaming, Father Grosso whispered to Lorraine that a large folding knife appeared to be in David's shirt pocket. Although Lorraine barely heard the priest, the next statement from the possessing entity was, "The knife is mine! I know what to do with it!" What had obviously been a physical object in the boy's pocket disappeared when Ed Warren reached for it. His efforts were met with raucous laughter from the beast. What possessed David was overwhelming in power and strength, and it used everything it had to stop the exorcism, including deception. As the priest continued with the commands of exorcism, David began to talk as himself. "Please, Mommy, please, everybody's hurting me. I just want to get out of here. I don't want to stay here, Mommy. make them stop hurting me. I want to get out of this church, Mommy. Please, I'll be good. I promise I want to get out of this church. The pleading was sufficiently deceptive to prompt Father Vergulic to bend down and speak to the boy. Now, one of the things that the Warrens, the only criticism that I've heard the Warrens make of the church, they were very critical of the authorities in the Catholic Church in this diocese, that poor, inexperienced priest, not fully qualified exorcist, had been chosen for this matter. And the official record, let's finish. An experienced exorcist would not have fallen for that trick. The pleading was sufficiently deceptive to prompt Father Vergulic to bend down and speak to the boy, whereupon his stole was suddenly grabbed with the thing and the child to begin strangling the priest. The priest did not make that mistake again. 2 hours into the exorcism, the entity began causing disfigurements of David's body. He was bloated and bounced and choked nearly to death. Please, Mommy, they're killing me. Make them stop. Are you there, Mommy? Get me out of here before they kill me. I'm sure some of you know that there are records of victims dying in the process of being exorcised. David's face had turned blue. His eyes and tongue protruded grossly. But Father Vergulic persisted in the commands of expulsion. Long, tortured animal wails sounded from David's body at the very same time he was gagging. Father Vergulic looked down at the grotesque scene and stepped back. The bulging eyes were crazed and wild. The tongue was so swollen that air could not be drawn. The devil really was the antithesis of life. It would kill. For the clergy, this was the critical point. They were involved in an enormous game of chance on a high mystical level. If they continued, the boy would either be exorcised or in minutes he would die. At 4 o'clock that Tuesday afternoon, Father Vergulic stopped the exorcism. He could not risk David's death. Making the sign of the cross over the restrained boy, he declared, "Dominus vobiscum." Dominus vobiscum. Expectedly, the fury subsided at that point. The entity, at least for the time being, had won. David Glatzel remained possessed. Yet all was not lost. The legion of lesser ones possessing entities were now gone. You don't finish the job, they know the way back. Still, the four main entities remained, as Debbie Glatzel's journal entry for the night of September 2nd after the failed exorcism, 9:45 p.m. David went into a trance-like state and started fighting with his heart, also spitting. He kicked over 2 bottles of holy water, hit me in the jaw with a book, then on his stomach in the living room, we found David bobbing up and down. After that, Carl Jr. and I saw David get knocked right over backwards, and he started crying. He said the thing kicked him in the stomach. David was in a great deal of pain. The outcome of the September 2nd attempt at exorcism, the presiding entities were not dislodged. Further exorcism was called for. Needless to say, the days following the September 2nd exorcism attempt were filled with enormous tension and difficulty. On the negative side, the 40-odd entities that had formerly participated in the seizure had not left entirely. The effect of the exorcism was only to remove them from the child's body. David reported they were still in the room with him. Now, how is this very different from the demoniac boy of the Gadarenes, where the spirits were allowed to go into the pigs in the area? Do you know most people don't believe any of that when they read it in the Bible either? Huh? Am I boring you?
No, sir.
A second attempt to exorcise David was imperative. The date for this second exorcism was deliberately set for Monday, September 8, 1980. I tell some of the reasons. That's when I started reading and they were in the convent and there weren't any there. Ed Warren went to the house. Then they come to the convent. Finally, at 3 o'clock, the exorcism began in earnest. It was the same lengthy reading attempted in the chapel on September 2nd. But the scene in the convent was drastically different from the previous one. Everyone waited for an interruption as they went through the whole thing. If not a confrontation, none arose. At 4 o'clock, the final prayer of thanksgiving and beseechment was read alive. God of heaven, God of earth, God of angels, God of apostles, God who has the power to give life after death and rest after work, we humbly beseech thee to deliver us all from the tyranny of the infernal spirits, from their snares, from their furious wickedness. Deign, O Lord, to protect us by thy power. And to preserve us safe and sound, we beseech thee through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Father Vergulic then rendered a formal blessing on David. It was over. The deed had been done. What mattered now was the effect. Would this stop possession of David? Would a miraculous end occur? The answer would be known by midnight. The answer is no. No, I can tell you. Yeah, an inexperienced exorcist. Well, they'd know by midnight. 11:30, David went into the living room, joined the other boys on the couch. They're home now. All the religious ritual was over his head, and he was getting tired. Wouldn't it be great if we just put David to bed tonight, and in the morning it'll be all over, Debbie said. No one dared reply. It's getting lengthy. You want me to go on?
Yes, sir.
Shall I stop?
No, sir.
I'd like to finish something once. Of course, it won't be finished because Arnie's going to get possessed and kill somebody. And then he'll go to prison until 2001. At 11:30, David went in the living room. They said, wouldn't it be wonderful? Nobody dared reply. If he'd go to bed and wake up everything all right. At midnight, all was well. David was holding his own. He was chattering with the others about fixing a hole in the stone wall in the yard. He was going to do this as soon as the grown-ups made the beast go away. 15 minutes later, David got up and started pacing. He no longer seemed tired. In fact, he was alert. When spoken to, his replies were brusque and sometimes nasty. He was consistent with behavior he had displayed before coming under possession. David, why don't you go to bed? Judy suggested. I'm not tired, he said sharply, returning to the living room where his brothers and Arnie were sitting with Paul Bartz. Paul, age 33, has worked with the Warrens for almost a decade. His task tonight was to watch David. Should possession occur, Paul was to call Ed Warren immediately. In the kitchen, more coffee was brewed and the wait continued. At 12:20 a.m., loud, boisterous talk erupted in the living room. Father Grosso went in, sat down, and observed. At 12:25, a paper airplane sailed across the room, hit Father Grosso in the chest. It came from David. When the priest looked at the boy, he was met with a burning stare. Then at 12:30, half an hour into September 9th, the worst occurred. David came under possession. The heart-sinking alarm was raised by Paul Bartz. He's going under. David's whole body began to vibrate. His eyes rolled up into his head. Moments later, he was under. Leave! The possessing entity screamed at the priest. David jumped to his feet, demanding in a vehement man's voice, get out! You're not getting him! A barrage of hostile accusations and vulgarities followed. The women were called blanks and blanks and blanks and blanks. The men were hit with insulting accusations. The priests were called queer. Father Vergulic, Lorraine Warren, Judy Glatzel were threatened with death for going through the exorcism. Paul Bartz called Ed Warren. By the time Paul returned to the living room a minute later, David was utterly wild. Arnie and Carl Sr. were doing all they could to hold the boy back as he struggled and strained to get at the priest, particularly Father Bergulic. It had begun. One by one, the priest donned the purple stoles, determined to see this siege to an end. You know the meaning there. Purple, a sign of royalty, King Jesus, wrapped in his authority, determined to see the siege to an end. With the strength David exhibited, it was a 10-minute battle just to get him down on the floor where he could be controlled. David's body was so imbued with force that four men were required to hold him down. Father Bergulic traced a cross in the air, then with the other priest beside him, he began the exorcism. "I'm more powerful than God," screamed out the voice from the boy. "Silence." Father Bergulic commanded, holding a small crucifix up to the boy. From his position on the floor, David spat on the cross 10 feet away. "You'll never exorcise me, you son of a bleepin' bleep bleep." Again, Father Bergulic began the process by attempting to anoint David with holy oils. As he came toward David, the entity in the child broke out in insane laughter. "That's the wrong oil, you holy fool!" The thing was right. You don't want me to go on, do you?
Yes,
the priest had inadvertently opened the wrong vial. "That's the wrong oil, you holy fool!" God, forgive me for laughing. Second time. With the struggling, spitting, and biting, it took another 10 minutes just to anoint David's forehead with the oils. Once applied, the holy oils trickled into David's mouth. He then spat it back into Father Vergulic's face. Half an hour later, the physical struggle continued unabated. Alan and Carl Jr. were called in to help. Father Vergulic began reading the exorcism over the boy. From the very first word, there was resistance. Virtually every word the priest said was met with a crude rebuttal or just shouted down. At 1:30 a.m., we're right on time, folks, only the most minimal progress had been made. The mental and the physical resistance exerted by the possessing entity in the child was just as strong as it had been in the beginning. The struggle was constant. Just holding David down was a monumental task, while out of his mouth spewed a ferocious spate of humiliating and degrading lies about everyone present. For the next 30 minutes, the major interruption was a tirade of accusations and filthy name-calling directed first at Father Bergulic, then at Father Grosso. The entity then made reference to the priest's families and alluded to its interference in their lives. "Too bad about your brother. You lied to your sister. This is going to kill your father. I'll make your nephew blind." By 2 o'clock, Father Bergulic was at the point in the ritual of rebuking the entity and commanding it to leave. This brought on a new wave of violent resistance, infused with a bolt of strength. David suddenly broke free from constraint and started to run berserk. It took more time to bring the boy under control. In response to the commands of exorcism read line by line, there was constant verbal resistance. When shouting and physical struggle didn't work, effusions of spit and phlegm poured out of the boy. Then his whole body was caused to vibrate up and down. This was followed by a choking seizure. David turned blue and stopped breathing. His chest swelled. By 3 a.m., the defiance, both physical and mental, by the entity was undiminished. It was the people who were wearing down. "Get out of my brother," Debbie screamed. "Get out, get out." She was hysterical and had to be led in the room. Father Bergulic persevered. "Who are you? What is the name by which you are called? Reveal your name," he commanded. Should have done that first time around. In reply came defiance and verbal garbage. "By the authority of God, I command you to say who you are or say the name of Jesus." "No, never!" The command was repeated 4 times. Unknown to those surrounding David that night, another crucial part of the exorcism was taking place 25 miles away. The scene was Ed Warren's study. There alone, between 2 and 3 a.m., Ed Warren received a visitation of a very high and profound order. He was confronted with the origin of all the trouble. That night Ed Warren saw the devil that possessed David. The entity was not there by chance. It had been summoned by Ed Warren deliberately for the purpose of binding the beast. When Paul Bartz called and reported that David came under possession just after midnight, states Ed Warren, I knew what had to be done. The beast entity had to be bound. It had to be made to obey. Binding is an essential part of the Roman exorcism, in which the entity is not only expelled from the body, but it is commanded or bound by the law of God not to seize a particular human being again. A diabolical entity that is not bound by the exorcist is capable of possessing again and again. Therefore, binding, in effect, is the killing stroke. But no binding procedure was going to take place in Brookfield. It couldn't. It hadn't been authorized. The Roman ritual hadn't been authorized because of church politics and bureaucratic insensitivity. And he will criticize the diocese strongly for not sending an exorcist authorized by the church to carry out the full binding exorcism. My intention was therefore to summon the lead entity to me in the name of God, of course, and bind it to a mystical law it must obey. Thou shalt not possess another creature of God as thy own. If I could bind the lead entity, as I'd done before in other cases, then the priest could exorcise the remaining spirits in the boy. This would effect a full exorcism and permanently free David from bondage. What I didn't count on was the complexity of this spirit that arrived. Having commanded the entity to appear using the steps prescribed in an arcane religious manual, Ed Warren felt the room grow exceptionally cold. Since the beast needed heat to manifest itself, Ed knew it was coming. The stench of putrid flesh filled the air. Then Ed heard distant screechings. As a death-like stillness permeated the room, a sense of immense danger and jeopardy filled Ed's heart. Then suddenly, the thing was there. What came through was an entity so horrendous, so radically different, so consummately powerful, that it cannot be accurately described. What confronted Ed Warren from 20 feet away was not even remotely human. It was a pulsing, tar-black mass 7 feet tall that Ed's eyes were drawn. Its head was twice the size of a man's, and I'm putting you to sleep. I don't believe you want me to finish. I really don't. You look bored to me. I bet everybody out there is asleep. Nobody cares about this. Plus, in fact, I'm ruining all my credibility. This story, this is the most unbelievable thing I've read in my life, except kind of like New Testament stuff. But the devil in Connecticut. I told him 9 years ago he was there. You don't want me to finish, do you?